You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back. Nice to have you here up north on a Friday morning, September 12th, 2025. Parker Olson producing things down in Madison Studio A2. Dr. Kristen Lyerly standing by as well. And Mike Clemens will be joining us in less than a half hour to talk about the Packers' victory over the Washington Commanders. Brittany Merlot has an early start to the weekend. Get your local forecast throughout the day on your local Civic Media station. And why wait for Mike Clemens when you can pluck somebody right out of the crowd at Lambeau Field to hear all about it? That, of course, would be Dr. Lyerly. So, Kristen, how are you and how was the game?
I'm exhausted. It was wonderful. I really thought that at some point we were going to sit and watch the game, but we were on our feet almost the entire time, and it was worth it. The fans were outstanding. Sterling Sharp had his Hall of Fame ceremony last night, and he really acknowledged how important the fans are. And I mean, the gameplay was fun. Like, it was fun to watch them last night.
Yes, it was. It was fun to watch from afar as well. I mean, the first two scoring drives of more than 90 yards apiece. Tucker Kraft having a great game. Jordan Love throwing the deep ball a lot. There was just so much potential there. I'm pretty sure that the Lambeau Field crowd probably felt like the air had been left out of the balloon when Jaden Reed went down, though, in the end zone with that broken collarbone.
Yeah, of course. I mean, he's such an important part of the team, but we're so rich. We've got so much depth that I don't think we're going to feel it the way that we've felt it in the past with when injuries like this have occurred.
Yeah. And we'll, of course, get into this more with Mike Clemens coming up in the next half hour. So we don't want to steal all his thunder here. But I was wondering how we were going to go about talking about one of this week's news stories that deals with healthcare. And I thought maybe I'll just read the headlines. And one of them, of course, deals with Robert Kennedy Jr. and speculating on autism and a connection with Tylenol. And then there's the other headline, $10 million in contraceptives have been destroyed on orders from Trump officials. The birth control pills, IUDs, and hormonal implants were purchased by USAID for women in low-income countries. They'd been in limbo in a Belgian warehouse after the U.S. cut much of its foreign aid. And now that $10 million in contraceptives destined for women in low-income countries has been destroyed. I'm just going to read the headline, and Kristen, just don't say any words you can't say on the radio, and go.
I guess the one word that I want to say is why. Yeah. it doesn't make any sense. These devices and medications were there to prevent unplanned pregnancies. And by preventing unplanned pregnancies and unsafe situations, you save people's lives. So this was life-saving medication that we had every opportunity to use in places where it's desperately needed. And instead, we just selfishly destroyed it at cost, by the way. The American taxpayers paid to have this birth control destroyed. It just defies common sense. But that is a pattern that we're seeing over and over and over again. And frankly, I think the American people are getting tired of it.
I would think so, especially as, somebody's going to amass the bill. You know, there's this $10 million that, you know, in taxpayer funds that have been wasted, you know, this much to deploy the National Guard to pick up trash. That's money that's been wasted, and on it goes. I mean, this has been the most fiscally reckless gang to ever occupy 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. Now, on the other one, on autism, Tylenol, Robert Kennedy Jr., what is it? Folate deficiencies, whatever that is, you're gonna tell me all about. Kristen, I am a pregnant woman. All right, ooh. I'm nearing the end of my first trimester, and I'm hearing all this, and I don't know what to make of it. So, what are you telling me? Besides congratulations, because that would be historic, you know.
Well, I mean, for most people, it's congratulations, but for some people, it's not. And for many people, it's really hard. For those of you who have struggled with a pregnancy, it can be incredibly painful just to get through the day between the fatigue and the nausea. It's challenging. And if you have some sort of a condition that causes pain, like, for example, say you get the flu or COVID or something like that, there are very few things that you can use in pregnancy to treat that condition. But Tylenol, acetaminophen, is one of those things that we know is safe. We've been using it forever, and we've got lots of data that shows that it's safe. Now, to be fair, there is some data out there that shows that there's a possible association between Tylenol and autism, but an association does not mean that Tylenol causes autism. It just means, we need to look into this a little bit more. And very importantly, there's other data that shows that there's no association. So this is how science works. It's often not clear. We really want black and white answers, but in many situations, it is just not clear. So we do need to do more research. But in the meantime, Tylenol is considered safe in pregnancy. And if you are pregnant and you are considering taking any medication, talk with your doctor about your circumstances, what's going on, what is the medication, and what is the best choice for you.
But that is the real problem with this administration, and specifically with Kennedy as Secretary of Health and Human Services, is to take these studies that are incomplete, or to misconstrue the conclusions, or to, you know, mix up causation and correlation. In other words, all the things that a standard of science is supposed to prevent, especially at the highest levels. The Secretary of Health and Human Services should not be just trying to connect dots that have not actually been connected yet.
Yeah. Well, as scientists and as doctors, we all want to prove our hypothesis. We all want to, like, we all in the world want to be right. But the truth is that we are often not right when it comes to science, and we have to be honest and objective. And that is one of the most important things that we have to keep in mind as scientists. When the data does not come out in your favor, too bad, the data is the data. But RFK Jr. and his ilk want to market whatever they have in a way that serves them, not us. And It's irresponsible. I mean, this man is not a doctor. He has said, don't take medical advice from me. That's the best advice he's ever shared.
It is. And look, he's not the only one. We have one of the worst when it comes to purveyors of misinformation right here in the senior senator from Wisconsin, Ron Johnson. Now, again, I don't want to get ahead of my skis on this. However, we heard him belittling one of the nation's leading COVID researchers the other day. And he was citing the fact that a study was discredited. The study initially said that, was it the hydroxychloroquine or ivermectin, one of his two that he loves to go to. That initial study said, you know, that this stuff is bad, maybe even dangerous. But then the study itself had to be retracted. Well, that's fine. But Ron Johnson's taking that as proof that these products are safe and should have been tried. Again, connecting dots that are not there. The discrediting of a study does not mean that the opposite of their conclusion is true.
They love to take something that has a little kernel of truth to it and blow it up in the wrong direction. So there is a little kernel of truth that ivermectin does help with COVID, but it's in giant quantities that we can't actually tolerate, and in a petri dish, not in our own bodies. But to take that study and that information and to project it into the general public and make something that can be helpful, and that's something that doctors are withholding from you, that just undermines your trust in your physician and your trust in science. And frankly, it's not good for any of us. Like, we have to believe in the people who are taking care of us. You have to have, one of the most important things is that therapeutic relationship. If you don't trust your doctor, you're going to walk out of that visit saying, that was a giant waste of my time and money. And Ron Johnson seems to be wanting to spend his entire career in the Senate undermining exactly that trust.
Yeah. Here's something else that's undermining health, and that is the changing of guidelines for the COVID vaccine, which is out now for this season, but is available to fewer people I believe it's now 65 and up and or with certain health conditions. And Kristen, I'm actually seeing people online saying, look, there's a lot of us, not yet 65, who still feel like we should have the COVID vaccine and are being urged to essentially, you know, either make up a health condition or shop around so that you can get the COVID vaccine, because it's clear that the Trump Kennedy HHS is not really promoting vaccination against COVID this winter.
Well, they're saying you can get it if you want it, but you can't. And it's because of them. Yeah. My son called me yesterday. He goes to school at Stevens Point. His friends are all sick with COVID. He said, Mom, I don't even know where I can get a vaccine because it's just not available. I had the same experience with a neighbor who is a senior citizen, went to his doctor, and they denied him a COVID vaccine because Kennedy's recommendations are preventing clinics from offering these medications. I don't know if he doesn't understand what the process is for making sure that vaccines are available or if he's just playing dumb, but people can't get vaccinated if they want to get vaccinated because he is putting all of these barriers between you and your healthcare. And friends, COVID season is coming, flu season is coming, RSV season is coming, and there will be unnecessary deaths for people who want to be vaccinated but are unable to get that vaccine, those vaccines.
And by the way, the barriers that we're talking about also include insurance companies, because when they hear Trump and Kennedy and others, you know, not recommend these things, that gives them a reason not to cover it and to say, well, we, you know, we're denying your request for it. And so maybe you can get it, but you'd be paying out of pocket. In the meantime, it's such a huge step back from where we were when we made the vaccine as readily available as quickly as possible and saved countless lives. And we are, without a doubt, marching backward. And again, not to sound alarmist, but we certainly have reason to be concerned about how things are going to go this winter between COVID, the flu, and RSV.
As a women's healthcare provider, you know, my patients have been living with the inability to make their own decisions about their own healthcare for a very long time. So welcome to the party, general public. This is what happens when politicians are making your healthcare decisions for you. We've got to stand up and fight back. That's the only way to get past this.
It is. We're talking to Dr. Kristen Lierley here. Let me give you an update on what's happening in Utah in the Charlie Kirk murder. Law enforcement officials say they will hold a news conference in the next half hour about the detention of a person in relation to the Charlie Kirk shooting. It deals with the case of a young adult who has been detained, who apparently confessed to his father, perhaps. Again, these are preliminary reports, and that the father kept him and turned him in, essentially, to law enforcement. And again, we'll see what the official word is coming up in the next half hour. We will monitor that press conference, and then we will share the details. We'll have Mike Clemens giving a sports and update on the Packer game. And then in our 8:52 segment, we will spend that time recapping what we know so far about what's happened with the Charlie Kirk murder down, out there in Utah. The Packer game that I just referenced, the Packers were winners there against the Washington Commanders. It was just a really good game overall, like Kristen was saying, 27-18, and now they're off until September 21st when they will take on Cleveland. That's a Sunday afternoon, 9 days from now at noon. And then there's more football coming up. We've got the Badgers at Alabama. That'll be starting at 9 a.m., the pregame on several Civic Media stations. We also have the Brewers tonight in St. Louis, and we have a free Ticket Friday keyword that we've been saying all morning. You have till 9 to text us the keyword CATCH, C-A-T-C-H. I'm Pat Kreitlow. You're up north.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
On the text line, just use that Civic Media app. Hit the text button. You can text us a keyword, catch, for free ticket Friday, or you can send us a message. And from Jim in Brookfield, always great to hear Dr. Lyerly on a Friday. She sounds great after her knee replacement. For someone getting his knee replaced next week Wednesday, does she have any words of advice? Let me jump in first and say... the best advice would be to follow doctor's orders about not overdoing the knee. Hey, Kristen, what's your advice?
Oh, yeah, you're so right. No, you know, the thing about a knee replacement is they want you to walk on it right away, but they don't want to want you to walk too much on it, which is my problem. My advice is live your life, drink water, be healthy, avoid alcohol, eat good food, get some exercise, like some stretching and some strengthening exercise. The recovery is tough. The first couple of weeks especially are hard. So just, you know, like mentally prepare yourself for that. But I think when you're going to be on the other side of it, it is life-changing.
That's wonderful. That's great.
Yes.
Can we also talk about President Trump's condition yesterday? And anybody who could see the photos or video of him at the 9/11 memorial service could see that the right side of his face was drooping. And it immediately led to all kinds of speculation about a stroke, but there also is something called Bell's palsy that could be at play here. So, I mean, can you talk a bit about, again, we're not there, we're not on site, we're not the president's doctor, but for people who see those photos, what kinds of things should they know about?
There's definitely something different about his face. Mm-hmm. And there have been big public health campaigns in the past to help us recognize what the signs of stroke are. And what we see on his face, it's one of the signs of stroke. We see the drooping of the corner of his mouth just on one side. It droops and it's visible and it's very clear. I am definitely not saying that I believe that Donald Trump had a stroke, but that sign is there. The worrisome thing, I think, for all of us is that the White House should be giving us this information. I mean, mm-hmm. He is the president of the United States and the leader of the free world. If he is having serious health conditions like this, and there's been a lot of speculation, they owe it to us to let us know what's going on, don't you think?
They do, but they have been amazingly secretive about it. I mean, for example, after an assassination attempt that, you know, left somebody dead and the president allegedly wounded, well, wounded, but I mean, was it a bullet? Was it a fragment? You know, maybe it was a fragment, but you know, the legend is better. And the legend is he was, you know, grazed by a bullet, but a bullet coming from a gun moving that fast would have caused a lot more damage. But again, there's nothing firm to nail down these things. And Trump, like other presidents before, would like to say, well, it's my body, it's my privacy. No, you're running the country. And that's part of the bargain that you make with us is, you know, that you don't have something like that happen. Robin Tigerton says, my dad had the droopy face like Trump's. He has had 3 strokes. Rob also says, it was 38 years ago today. I ruptured my appendix. I had major surgery. And the doctor says I shouldn't have survived. I survived 2 major surgeries. And I was blessed. I have made it to meet wonderful people like Pat and Kristen. Well, thank you, Rob. I appreciate that. Especially somebody myself who had a burst appendix and required 3 surgeries as well. Mm-hmm. So,
can I just say something about Rob from Tigerton?
Yes.
This is a guy who shows up every morning. He is helping out in his community. He does good things. He comes from a long line of people who have been community-centered and helpers. And he is just finding his voice as a disability advocate. I'm really excited to see what Rob is going to do in the future.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. You, along with all these other things, I believe you host a show, the Dr. Kristen and there will be a new edition of that come tomorrow. Tell us more.
Oh, it's going to be so good. I mean, they're all good because they're conversations and they're light and they're entertaining. Tomorrow's show, I just sat down with Representative Ahmad Rivera Wagner, who is a dear friend of mine. He represents Green Bay and he tells his story. He talks lovingly about the city of Green Bay and all of the amazing things that are going on up here. You know, we're kind of quiet, but we're kind of awesome. And then he talks about all the progressive history in Wisconsin. We were the workers' comp state. We were the first state to be able to do state income tax. We were the first state to ratify the 19th Amendment so women would get the right to vote. There's so much beauty and wonder in Wisconsin, and he is thrilled to be serving in the assembly right now and creating the future for the state. So it's a great conversation. I hope you'll come on board.
Absolutely. And how can folks find the Dr. Kristen Lyerly Show?
We are on WGBW and WISS on Saturday and Sunday, but the easiest way to find it is just wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay. Have you got next week's show mapped out already? You know, there's days where I'm like, I have these guests all planned in advance and things are ready to go. And there are times during the commercial break where I say, I wonder what I'm going to talk about next.
I mean, I have a long list and there are a couple folks that I have in mind. One thing might be the Monthlies Project, which is an organization that it's a nonprofit that gathers funds to help buy menstrual products for people. There are a lot of women who experience period poverty. And we've talked about this on the show in the past, Pat. So the Monthlies Project is something that's heating up again. CORE, C-O-R-E, is an initiative at the UW that does a lot of research related to reproductive health here in Wisconsin. The CORE folks are going to join us. I've got lots of, like, you know, people who are running for office and leaders and community builders that are queuing up, and it's going to get bigger and more exciting, I think, in the weeks to come. Like, good things are on the horizon.
All right. And then at the game last night, you had a guest along with you, didn't you? One of the boys.
I did. Little Pat Kreitlow was there, my youngest son, James.
What do you think? Does he like doing Packer games with mom, or is he getting to the point where it's like trying to get a hug out of mom? You know, it's like, no, don't embarrass me.
He's almost 17. And a couple of years ago, all of a sudden he got the bug, and now he is the world's greatest football fan. So we're sitting there watching the game and he's like spouting statistics and he's telling me what to watch. I'm a good fan. Mm-hmm. I don't really understand the game as well as somebody who is like a student of the game, but I learned a lot from my son last night.
There you go. See, that's how this should work. You should always have your own, you know, in-game analyst to come along with you. And yeah, you did that. So Kristen, thank you. Rest up that knee, please, and feel better and have a very nice weekend.
Thank you, my friend. I'll see you on Monday.
All right. See you Monday morning. Coming up next, we'll be talking to Mike Clemens and then giving some further details on the Charlie Kirk murder, the detention of a suspect. I'm Pat Kreitlow, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network. Once again, we are monitoring developments out in Utah where somebody has been taken into custody in the Charlie Kirk killing, and we will either go to the press conference or monitor it and bring you the details as soon as we're able. It's been delayed once, maybe delayed again, so we are just going to continue on here for the meantime and tell you that it is Free Ticket Friday, and so if you'd like to be in the running for a statewide drawing for four great seats to see the Brewers versus the Angels next Thursday night, then get to the Civic Media app, use the text feature, and text us the word catch, C-A-T-C-H. And you can enter multiple times today. There'll be different shows with different keywords, so listen throughout the day to get multiple entries. And again, one will be plucked to see the Brewers next week. Brewers were off yesterday. We will talk more about the Brewers, but first, of course, we got to get to the Packers and a Thursday night game at home at Lambeau Field against the Washington Commanders, where Mike Clemens was following it and joins us now. Mike, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Pat. Yeah, a 27-18 win for the Packers over a Commanders team that, you know, got as far as the NFC Championship playoffs last year with Dan Quinn at head coach, and who had led the Falcons to a Super Bowl, and Matt LaFleur was his quarterback coach. And Matt Ryan was the MVP that year, but they lost in the fourth quarter to Tom Brady and the Patriots. This Packers defense just was the star of the game again last night. Mm-hmm. Led by Micah Parsons, who they picked up in that trade now 2 weeks ago. He had a half a sack, but you know, you can see these teams are having a game plan for him. And they hit the quarterback 12 times, sacked him 4 times. I mean, Jaden Daniels, who was the NFL rookie, offensive rookie of the year last year at quarterback, he was, you know, on the run all night long. And talking to Xavier McKinney, the safety at his locker late last night, now these guys got the weekend off. I don't know. It's like, we just talked about the speed of the defense. And he said, yeah, I had nothing to do tonight because either the quarterback was under duress, or, you know, Keyshawn Nixon was out there in their corner and had 5 deflected passes at corner. And that, you know, the Commanders, that's an older team. You know, Von Miller, I think Larry McCarron said this is like his 15th season.
Yeah, a couple of guys. He said one of the guys was 85 years old. I mean,
Bobby Wagner, Bobby Wagner from the Seahawks is one of their linebackers. So, maybe that Packers youth kicked in, but whatever. And one of the guys in the network that I was on last night said, have you ever seen a Packers defense that fast? And I didn't think about it. I mean, you know, they had Reggie White, but not five or six guys like, you know, Edgerrin Cooper and Quay Walker, you know, getting praise from McKinney last night about he's so tall and is fast. And now he knows where he's going and understands, you know, where the play is developing. So between that and then big Devontae Wyatt from the defensive line, breaking through the A gap and putting pressure on the quarterback and, deflecting passes. So that defense has, had a tremendous week, 2 weeks in a row now.
They did. And, you know, for me, the surprising thing was knowing, I don't know much, but I did know that Jaden Daniels, you know, had a heck of a season last year with Washington. And so I was a little nervous that we'd get, you know, how we would face like, you know, Colin Kaepernick in his prime, how he only seemed to have the Packers number. And I was a little bit worried about that. But this defense was like you said, nothing I've seen before in terms of speed in shutting down another top five offense. But now we got to go to the other side of the coin, and there's always people banged up afterwards, but this one is especially tough watching how hard wide receiver Jaden Reed came to the ground after making a catch in the end zone.
Yeah, opening drive, he's run down the right-hand side. It looks like he's going to catch this 39-yard pass from Jordan Love for a touchdown. It would have been nullified, actually, because of Anthony Belton, the rookie, filling in a tackle. Mm-hmm. I think it was a holding call on him. But Jay Reed, who he had that dislocated shoulder and had to leave the Eagles playoff game. It was able to heal on its own. He didn't need surgery. But he comes down, comes over, and they go in the x-ray, broken collarbone. And, you know, like some agent told ESPN, well, yeah, 6 to 8 weeks, but it's like, come on. I mean, you know, we did that. We went through this twice with Aaron Rodgers. It may be December, right, if he's able to come back at all or something like that. They're going to get Christian Watson back, who they just gave that $13 million extension to sometime next month.
Sometime next month. Okay. Well, we do have other weapons in the meantime, so that works out well. The Packers are off. They've got a 9-day break here before they play September 21st, a noon game against Cleveland. But there were some honors there last night, a former player being honored. You got to talk to a former coach, Mike McCarthy, as well?
Yes, Sterling Sharp, you know, the receiver for Mikowski and the early part of Favre's career, went into the Hall of Fame last month, and now his name is up there in the Ring of Honor. So they did that at halftime. And, yeah, I ran into Mike McCarthy. You know, I covered all those years. And he was honored last weekend at the Packers game when they brought back for the 15th anniversary the Super Bowl 45 team, and he came running out of the tunnel, and you know, people, the fans just went nuts there during that Lions game. Well, he was back up there again. Someone invited him to be in a suite, and he told me that after he got let go by the Cowboys, that Jerry Jones brought him in for a meeting. He was moving back to Green Bay, selling the place down in Dallas, and he had a meeting with Jerry in June. Just to sort of, you know, smooth things out, whatever. But now Mike, you know, spent the summer in Door County on his boat, and he's lived in the De Pere area, and he and Jessica's youngest is still an eighth grader, so he's going to all those games. And he's doing some media now, too, for, like, ESPN. But it was great to see him, great to catch up with the coach like that, and to see the fans welcome him back, too, right?
Yeah, exactly. Well, because, I mean, one thing he didn't do is he became a competitor. He became the competition, but he didn't take on this, diva-like thing and trashing the old team. And so, still on good terms with the fans, which you can't say about everybody.
You know, maybe his worst loss was to the Packers in that playoff game, too. You know,
that
might have been the last straw. Who else I saw last night? Who? Do you remember Doug Williams?
Yeah.
You know, the Washington quarterback led them to Super Bowl 22, four touchdown passes, 6-4-4, huge. He was with the Commanders last night. I saw him getting off the team bus, and I saw him a couple times in the press box. I mean, it was like, wow, Hall of Famer right there. And Super Bowl MVP. So, you know, those kind of, it's a Thursday night primetime game. So they got those guys there, you know.
Yep. No, no. You get all the celebs. You get the pregame being done outside and everything else. Then you've got the atmosphere of, you know, college football. And while this one will not be at Camp Randall, but when they go play the Crimson Tide in Alabama, even though Alabama isn't quite the juggernaut that it used to be, it's they're still a very formidable foe. And I'm sure knowing that the Badgers are coming to town, that's going to make for big festivities happening in Bama tomorrow.
Yeah, the Wisconsin Badgers are playing a game in Alabama for the first time ever. It's 11 o'clock tomorrow. Alabama's now 19th ranked in the country. They beat the Badgers at Camp Randall last year, 42-10. And they're 21-point favorites tomorrow against Luke Fickell and his Badgers. But he says, you know, my guys, we got this one circled after last year. And you know, who knows? Maybe they'll rise to the occasion and you know, accept the competition that way. But yeah, they're going to be down in Tuscaloosa, which is, isn't that like an old Groucho Marx joke, something about a, you know, shot an elephant in Africa, but I found the tusks were very difficult, but in Alabama, the tusks are looser. So we'll see how that goes tomorrow for them. There's one time I found that the Badgers beat Alabama.
Yes.
November 1928.
Yes, I heard that earlier in the morning, like, oh, we haven't beat Alabama since 1928. I'm like, what? I go looking it up and like, well, that's like the only other time we played them. So yeah, it's been that way. Oh my goodness. But anyway, pregame will be at 9 o'clock, starting on Civic Media stations in Richland Center, Amory, Wisconsin Rapids, and Ripon. So be sure you check out the Civic Media website to learn more about that. The Brewers had last night off, and that was when you've got that in the middle of a homestand, that is just a especially nice, you know, you got your home game isn't until the next day, and you've got this opportunity to go to maybe see, I don't know, a Packer game, and there were definitely some Brewer sightings last evening.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I saw on the sideline, you know, just before the national anthem, I saw Bryce Terang, Sal Frelick, Caleb Durbin. Yeah, a bunch of the guys came up from Milwaukee, had the night off after they got back from Texas. Now, they got swept by the Rangers this past week, which was the only time this season they've lost a three-game series. The first was that opening weekend series against the Yankees. And it's only the third time that they've been swept since Pat Murphy took over last year's manager. I think they got swept by the Phillies once last year as well. But tonight, they're taking on the Cardinals. First pitch at 7:10, and I'm going to try and get down there for that one, so if I can get into that Pat Murphy pregame press conferences, because, you know, see, you know, if he pulls out any pancakes or waffles out of his pocket or whatever. But did you see during the Rangers game, a couple of the mascots from the Rangers were holding up signs in a fence behind home plate to try and distract the Brewers pitcher that said pocket waffles?
Yes, pocket waffles, and waffles are better, and all of that. You know, I was going to make another observation about that at that stadium there. Look, but behind the batter, you know, and the catcher, and if you see the people there, they're the season ticket holders. Okay, they're in the seats. You get that they've got a little bit more scratch than a lot of fans do. That's fine, fine. But what they've got at Texas, and I know there's a couple of other, I think there's a couple other stadiums like this too. It's not seats behind the batter. It's like a little restaurant or a club that people are just kind of walking around with their sandwiches and their cocktails, like a bar. And it really rubbed me the wrong way, Mike. It's like, the people who are sitting in the seats are paying attention to the game. I don't want to watch some rich Texas whatevers, you know, just hobnobbing in the background, not really paying attention to the game. It just really struck me as, and I don't use this word very often, but elitist. And you know, but let me make clear, Mike, if you ever get me a ticket to get me in there, I'm gonna go. I'm just gonna pay more attention to the game than some of these people were.
Hey, one time in the 90s, I was in Washington, D.C. covering some stories for CBS. But then at night, I went with a buddy of mine. And he said, let's go see an Orioles game. Let's go check out this new Camden Yards. We walked up, and they had seats up in the bleachers and some in the seventh row right behind home plate. Well, hey, we did that. They were affordable. We sat down. And there's this guy that people kept on saying hello to during the home game. And it was during Ripken when he's having his, you know, his streak, his career streak. And during the seventh inning stretch, this guy who everybody was waving to, including George Will, remember the, the conservative talking, this guy had a bald spot. He turned around and was waving to people. It was Jim McKay.
No.
Like, what's Jim McKay? It turns out Jim McKay was a part owner of the Orioles.
I had no idea. Wide World of Sports, Agony of Defeat, that Jim McKay. Wow.
Sitting right in front of us, So, you know, the Dodgers have got Mary Hart from Entertainment Tonight. She's got these prime.
She's got great seats. Yes, absolutely.
At the Dodgers games. And Milwaukee's got front row Amy, who comes down every couple of nights to keep stats. But, you know, she's there. So, but these people, at least our fans, are intently watching the game
that's
in the front row.
That's exactly right. And by the way, at 89 wins, Brewers still have the best record in the major league. So there'll be plenty of good material to watch tonight as they start a series with the Cardinals. Mike Clemens, thank you as always for the Friday morning sports. Have a great start to the weekend.
Thank you, Patrick. Appreciate it.
All right. Yep. Appreciate you very much. All right. Let's pause here. And then when we come back, some final news and notes from Lake Wissota. We'll have any update that we've got from what's happening out in Utah as well. And then Matt and Aaron Air follows us right after the 9 o'clock news. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Well, again, we're monitoring events in Utah, where a news conference will be getting underway soon about a possible suspect in the shooting of Charlie Kirk. It all started with the president of the United States speculating out loud on a basic cable morning show, Fox and Friends, saying, "I think with a high degree of certainty, we have him in custody." But Trump said he couldn't go too far in sharing the details. He said that he was turned in after somebody that he knew recognized him. Somebody that was very close to him said, "That's him." The president said, according to the New York Times here, he's subject to being corrected, but that he was sharing information, quote, "based on what I'm hearing." He says a minister who is also involved in law enforcement communicated with the person's father and eventually was able to turn him into authorities. And as if all the speculation weren't enough, the next thing the president of the United States said is, "I hope he gets the death penalty." Well, again, so much for due process. Okay. Look, if you're talking just, overarchingly symbolically about whoever the murderer turns out to be, well, that's one thing, but I think we can agree that's not what Donald Trump was talking about, but just this person who they're about to announce as having been arrested. And there is a name and an age of age 22 that is out there. But again, federal authorities have said they're still in the process of pursuing leads and executing search warrants. And so there will be this news conference, but I can't say with any certainty how much certainty that they're going to have as well. So we will continue to monitor it here. And at the very least, Civic Media will record it and bring it to you as part of Matt and Air on Air, and then try to give some context to what's happening. Because again, this is a very fast moving story, and we're trying to keep speculation to a minimum, just passing along things as we hear them from figures of authority. Knowing full well that those figures of authority may not necessarily have all the information either. It's a theme that we just keep coming back to on this program, is that it's important to get the facts right rather than trying to scoop everybody else, and to provide the proper perspective when we're giving it. I hope that we're able to do that for you. So let me close here with an article in the Isthmus newspaper out of Madison. And if you go to isthmus.com and head to the opinion section, I was very happy to see the name of Mary Bergen in there. Mary Bergen, B-E-R-G-I-N. She is a very experienced freelance travel writer and was one of our freelance writers for the first couple of years here at Up North News, writing all manner of stories about places in Wisconsin. But she is very much a world traveler. And as a world traveler, she has taken the pulse of communities around the globe over these past 7-8 months and has an opinion column in there that leads like this. I am eager to offer apologies this year and already issued dozens while exploring Mexico, reconnecting with Canadian colleagues in Charleston, and attending international travel events in Chicago. I'm sorry for our government's attitude toward yours. I'm sorry for the stress you may feel when traveling here. I'm sorry if you haven't felt welcome. So many of us are glad you chose to visit. We aren't all like that. She says the replies she gets are a mix of chuckles and thanks and reassurance and suspicious looks and confidential tales of life's new complications. Before I read more of it, it occurred to me I did not start the segment by saying that one last time, if you haven't texted us the keyword yet for our text to win contest for 4 Brewers tickets, it's catch, C-A-T-C-H, and you got just over 2 minutes to send that back our way. Catch is the keyword. There will be more keywords throughout the day to potentially win Brewers tickets to see a game next Thursday against the Angels of Anaheim, Los Angeles County, something like that. Back to Mary Berg, and travel writer, talking about how the world of travel, she writes, has been so muddled this summer, so many are not quite sure where to go or what to expect. That includes frequent flyers who appreciate cultural differences and know how the amplified antics of politicians diminishes the quiet goodwill of average people worldwide. We travel writers, she says, debate whether to delete our social media content before approaching customs, or whether it's best to write about countries other than the U.S. this year. And then she goes on to talk more about the conversations that she has been having. And it is clear that, and it's been clear from my travels as well, that most people around the world understand the difference between the American people and government and politicians and even pop culture. That American people, by and large, the ones who are traveling overseas, are ones who are, want to get a worldview that is much more well-rounded, because that is the antidote to things like xenophobia and jingoism and all the other quote-unquote ugly American traits that we see out there. Okay, for years and years, it doesn't matter who's in power, people around the world have appreciated the American people and welcomed them to their countries, especially when they're spending their tourism dollars here. Unfortunately, you do sense a bit of a shift because, again, it took 70 million of those Americans to put Donald Trump back in office. And there's a little more hesitancy. Well, a lot more hesitancy. Foreign travel to the U.S. is plummeting. And again, it's one of the many ways that the election result from last November is costing our economy, in terms of visitors, in terms of goodwill, in terms of trust. I will say, however, from my own travels earlier this year, the one thing they do know is that when Americans are traveling abroad, by and large, the ones who are traveling are not folks who are going to be spewing some of the ugliest lines of American politics these days, because the ones who are spewing some of the ugliest lines in America these days, the last thing they want to do is travel and see the rest of those people around the world. So hopefully a lot more Americans will have an expanded worldview and use up that passport. I hope you have a great weekend. Thanks so much for tuning in. We will do this again bright and early Monday morning, 6 a.m. here up north. In the meantime, head over to upnorthnewswi.com, sign up for a newsletter, and head to Spotify and listen to us as a podcast. Matt and Air on Air is next.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.